Good evening, dear listeners. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. And it's that time of the evening where we discuss about business, we discuss about economics, we discuss about issues of trade, and we discuss about what is happening around the country, what is happening in the SADC region, and what is happening in the continent of Africa. This is a time that we discuss all the issues which affect our bread and butter. We look at the issues of financial system, we look at the issues of trade policies, the relationship between policy planning and implementation. We look at the content and context of Namibian businesses, especially the SMEs, what is the power and also limitations of SMEs, from an SME operating at a CBD to an SME operating at the edge of the village where there is no access to well-powered network, either internet connectivity or even proper infrastructure, either electrical connectivity, as those are all part of the economy, or as all those are all part of economic financial securitization, actually. So this is your platform. This is your platform wherever you find yourself. Some of you, I see and I understand you are going back home from work. Some of you are already at your house. Some of you are on your way to those, luxurious places just to kill the day. And some of you are going to the night shift, but we are greeting you. The fact that you open, the fact that you make sure that you tune into Eagle FM Namibia. This is your number one favorite talk radio station in Namibia, and this is where we have conversation, this is where we have discussions, and this is where we have real interrogation of matters, and this is where we educate each other of what is happening around the country, what is happening in the continent of Africa, what is happening at the global stage, and what are those things that we need to do in order to make sure that at the end of the day, we contribute positively to the goals and objective of our country. At the end of the day, we make sure that that of which is planned with a good intention is achieved collectively. And this is a platform that we criticize matters with an alternative way of saying, why are you doing A, B, C, and D instead of you doing E, F, G, H, I? So why are you proposing a policy which is unimplementable? Why are you implementing a policy which is not well structured, which does not have a direction? Why your governance structure is saying one thing, why your implementation structure is saying another thing? Why there is always a gap between what is planned and the outcome? That is where we interrogate matters. So that is why we are saying everything which is cut across, everything which is talking about bread and butter, everything which is talking about what we put on the table, we discuss about those matters, we interrogate those matters, and we are here to educate each other. We are here to educate each other because we understand that institution and better, either is local institution, is regional or international institution, are not actually built by a person who is just agreeing with everybody, or they are not built by people who agree with everybody, but they are built by debaters, people who constructively criticize on what is happening, what have been done, and also what need to be done, how is the system need improvement, and that is the mother of innovation, because if you say researchers and students are co-creators of knowledge, then you'll be able to understand that that is the mother of innovation. Innovation comes from, finding a better way, an alternative or smart way of dealing with issues, and smart ways of handling the situation, either in terms of machinery or in terms of a theory or in terms of a system that need to be put in place to make our work easier. So we are always indicating to you, that this platform, we don't only look at economics in terms of numbers, we don't only look at business in terms of infrastructure, but we look at the mind, capacity, and ability of those who are in charge of running those businesses, those who are interacting with those businesses, the psychology behind payment, and indeed, what is human development, what is the level of human development in Namibia, in the region, and also in Africa. This is also where we analyze issues based on statistics, based on reports, content of events, and that is why we are always talking to say, for example, when you talk about finance accessibility, do we have a good understanding on how to use that finance, or you are just giving me to access to finance, then I end up in trouble. So those are some of the factors that we look into, and we are here until the hour of 1900 hours. We are here until the hour of 1900 hours. That is why we are always indicating to you that when you tune in, when you open at Eagle FM Namibia, we thank you, and it's always very, very important to make sure that you have access to information, you have access to knowledge, you have access to content, and also to know what is happening around, why is important for you not to be left out, because what is the value of knowledge, what is the value of economic insight, how can you use economic insight to make sure that you improve the way you do business, the way you do your work, and the way also you relate with others. Because one thing about having information does not only improve you professionally, but it also improve you personally. How do you relate with other people, and how do you reason, how do you do planning, and also how do you deal with conflicts too, and building of relationships and building of relationships. So before we go to what we have on the table today, we are always indicating to you that for you not to miss out, connect with us, Eagle FM Namibia. Connect with us on Facebook, X, Instagram, and LinkedIn. When you do that, share and like our page, because when you do that, you don't only have access to information and data, you have access to the content.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
To information and data, you have access to the content and context, and you also allow those who are following you to have also access to economic and intelligence insight. And when you talk about economic intelligence, when you talk about business insight, is those data that will guide you, will assist you and help you when you are making those long-term economic business choices. Is those facts and data which are also allowing you to navigate through a complicated situation, particularly in the area of business, in the area of governance, and also how you deal with people. Just like we were saying the other day, to say, for example, data or statistics coming from the election process are not just statistics to define somebody to win the election or to lose the elections, but are the statistics which are also having a behavior of an individual who voted behind, having a behavior and thinking of an individual who voted, the pattern of voting, and also what are the data saying. So you are at the right platform. Apart from that, we have e-paper. That is, of course, the Villager newspaper. The Villager newspaper is an e-paper which is coming out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. That is why we are always telling you to say, on the ground that you are a researcher, on the ground that you are an economic student, on the ground that you are a developmental enthusiast, or just somebody who wants to update yourself on what is happening in Namibia in terms of the economy and business, or you just want to update yourself on what is the relationship between financial institutions in Namibia and in the region, what is the content of food security in Namibia, how much are we producing, what is the statistics saying, what is that which we are selling, what are the top 5 exported products, and what are the top 5 imported products, how can we improve the trade. So for you to do that, when you have access to the Villager newspaper, then you have access to the sources of information. That is why we are telling you to say, in the ground that you are a researcher, you find those interesting professor, actuary, or supervisor who are saying, my friend, I want content-based and up-to-date sources referenced in this document. What you need to do when you use the Villager newspaper, we always make sure that the content and context that we are giving you is that of which is up to date, is that of which is happening, is that of which affect bread and butter issue. So apart from you having access to the Villager newspaper, there are also those who ask questions to say, Eagle FM Namibia, why are we not connected to you? Why are we not, connected to you? Where are you? What is happening with the frequency? At one point we are connected and at one point we are not connected. Dear listeners, the world has moved so fast to that extent that those who understand technological advancement and also those who equip themselves with technological skills are the one who are going to receive information. And we are indicating to you that the best thing that you can do is that take your phone, go to Play Store, go to App Store, then you can be able to download Eagle FM app. You can be able to download Eagle FM app, and when you download Eagle FM app and you put it in your phone, automatically when you just open it like that, you'll be able to listen to the programs which are on air, and you can also be able to follow up on the previous programs that you have missed out on the point at the time where, you know, it could be that when that program was on air, you were busy doing something of equal importance. When that program was on air, you were busy doing something of, equal importance. So you can still come back. You can still come back to the Eagle FM app. Then you can go to podcast. Then you can listen to that program at your own time and at your own pace. The other thing is also that you can be connected to Imba app. We also have Imba app. Imba app is a digital version of a hymn book. Imba app is a digital version of a hymn book. That is why we are always indicating to you. We are always indicating to you that if you are a pastor, if you are attending a certain congregation, if you are a churchgoer, if you are somebody who is at a place where you are supposed to sing, actually, you are supposed to sing because you are at the graduation, you are at the send-off party, you are at the retirement party of somebody, and you are supposed to sing from a hymn book. And let's assume that you do not have a hymn book at that point in time. Instead of you go and borrow and show that you forgot or show that you do not have, we save you. We are saving you in the context that with Imba app, you can be able to make sure that you just download Imba app. Go to Play Store, App Store. When you download Imba app, you can be able to get access to the content of a hymn book, to the content of a hymn book that is in Oshiwambo, or that is in Oshiwambo Ehangano. You can also find it in Ocherero, that is Omaimburiro. You find it in Afrikaans, Silozi, and many other local Namibian languages. So in a situation, at a point that you are not, you are not having a hymn book, do not worry, because we got you. We got you in the context that when you have access to Imba app, then your life is more easier. The other thing is also that before we go to what we have on the table today, before we go to what we have on the table for today, it's always very important. It's always very important also to look at advertisement. Make sure that if you want to increase your revenue, if you want to boost your revenue, advertise with Eagle FM Namibia. Make sure that you advertise with Eagle FM Namibia, where you can buy airtime on air, or you can advertise through the Villager newspaper, because when you do that, you make your life more easier, and you can boost and increase the revenue of your business. You can boost and increase the revenue of your business by having access to potential customers, having access to future clients that can be reach either in Namibia or abroad, because a digital platform is a platform where everybody is. And when you advertise with Eagle FM app by buying airtime on air, or when you advertise with the Villager newspaper, I understand that you can be able to reach a large number of potential customers that will be able to assist you in achieving the fundamental objectives of your business: increase profit and create employment too. So we are saying money invested in advertisement is money on the way back to the owner with interest and with expanded revenue. So do that. Talk to our marketing manager, Me Monica Ipinge, and you'll be sorted. You'll be sorted, and you will not miss out, and you can improve your business. So even if you are an SME, you are a middle business operator, you are a multinational corporations, come and do your investment in advertisement, then you can be able to get coverage and also meet your potential customers. So in this world, it's not about hard working anymore. It's whether you are working smart. It's whether you are working smart, save time and energy, and also be efficient in what you do. So stay tuned. We are here today. We are here, as it has always been the case, until the hour of 1900 hours. We are here until the hour of 1900 hours. So stay tuned. Yes, dear listeners, you are listening to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. And yeah, today we are going to look at where we as a country, where we as a continent, particularly regarding Africa Continental Free Trade Area. What is the future of Africa Continental Trade Integration? Yeah, because, you know, where we are, wherever we are, we always hear this concept of what is Africa Continental Free Trade Area. We hear our leaders, our politicians, our policy makers, those who are in charge of trade institutions are talking about Africa is committed. I mean, Namibia is committed to be part of Africa Continental Free Trade Area. Namibia is committed to be part of, you know, Africa Continental Free Trade Area, where integration, where trade is going to be non-barriers, where the system of trade among you know, the continent or within the continent will be priority number one, where there will be what we call inclusive Pan-Africa payment and settlement system, where you are trading at real time at main, you know, currency without involvement of a third party currency. Because remember, when you are trading with, for example, with Nigeria, when you are trading with Ghana, Namibia, with Ghana, remember that there is a cost of conversion of money, and there is also a cost of a third party. So it means that there is a cost being lost. That's why statistics are indicating that, you know, Africa annually we lose around 4 to 5 billion US dollars in using a third party or a third currency transactions. So today I'm so triggered, especially by today's event, which was happening at BON, where there was a conversation regarding, you know, inclusive payment system. There was conversation regarding inclusive payment system, where you have different persons from economic background, different persons from, you know, financial background, who spoke about various aspects, especially when it has to come with, you know, inclusive payment, you know, system. And in that regard, it was also a topic which was hit into, you know, into the area of how can financial infrastructure, particularly digital financial infrastructure, can be used to accelerate trade, to accelerate cross-border trade, and also to improve the lives of, you know, Namibians and also Africa at large. And there have been, you know, a lot of statistics being given. And we are going to give this, you know, we are going to discuss this aspect in line with what we've been discussing for the past 4 weeks, especially regarding financial inclusivity, But what I want to look at is that after trying and also see if there is a relationship between what is being said and what is happening on the ground, because there is quite, there is like a little bit of a gap between what between the political will and the financial sector. Because one of the things which was stated is that there is still a long way to go. And one of the speakers who you know, I respect so much, especially when it's come to matters of being honest on what is happening on the ground, matters of being honest on what is happening, particularly between private sector. Yeah, as I indicated, that one of the speakers by the name Tim Marcel, who is an independent consultant and is also retired from employment of South Africa Reserve Bank, indicated that the issue of public-private partnership have failed, especially the relationship between commercial banks and also central banks. That is one of the things that he mentioned. And one thing which I've also observed is that there is still discussion at a lower scale, particularly on how do we deal with CMA payment system. How do you deal with the payment between Namibia, South Africa, Lesotho, and Eswatini? How do we sort out the issues and the challenges of the payment system within SADC region, even before we go to Pan-Africa payment and settlement system? Which means that when somebody say we are committed to African Continental Free Trade Area, he or she does not mean is going to be fully integrated by 2030. It means that we still need to sort out the nitty-gritties within the borders. We need to sort out the nitty-gritties within the borders. And what I want to get into also, that the main barrier also, as it has been difficult for Africa to unite due to thousands of cultural differences, and thousands and thousands of languages, one of the things that stated is the issues of currencies. It's the issue of currencies, because we have imbalance. We have more than 40 different currencies in Africa, and that is a barrier of us African states to speak with one voice, particularly when it's coming to trade with one payment and settlement system, and also to improve fast and efficiency transaction. Because one of the things which is stated is that when you look at, for example, the trade between Namibia and South Africa, trade between Namibia and Botswana, between Namibia and Lesotho, what this who involved in that transaction want is fast, is safe and secured payment system. And there's also an aspect of illicit financial flow. You also do not want just to trade with other countries, but you also want to make sure that you have stronger digital infrastructure, you have stronger financial infrastructure, which can trace the illicit financial flow, because there is still a lot of money which is being shipped out of the continent due to those who understand technology better, and they are using it for not too good reason. Now, I want to refer you to the speech by the Secretary General of African Continental Free Trade Area, that is Wamkele Mene, when he spoke regarding the Pan-African payment system. And I also want you to compare with the speech of our current Minister of Information, Communication and Technology, and also see where can we balance, where can we meet each other in this regard, and what is that need to be done, particularly when it comes to a better payment system and also improvement in terms of trade. Because what you want currently is trade. Namibian economy is very small. It cannot feed everybody. And opportunities are less. Borders are not open to everybody. There is still barriers in terms of trade in the continent of Africa. There's still an area where we need to harness opportunities, but the only way is full integration of Africa, full fast integration of Africa, where transaction is done in a timely manner, but also a secure transaction. So What, how is that going to happen? It's going to happen when you have digital and financial infrastructure which can back up your system. So now let us listen to Wamkele Mene and what he has to say regarding Pan-Africa payment system and also trade infrastructure in Africa. And we can also be able to compare with today's speech of our current Minister of Information Communication Technology. Then we can be able to draw a conclusion to say, where are we standing? And is it going to work? Or we need to do more in that regard? So stay tuned. We are here until the hour of 1900 hours.
As we all know, one of the biggest challenges the African continent has is the cost of currency convertibility, which contributes to a higher cost of trade. If you are in Ghana and you want to trade with somebody in Kenya, you have to first convert the Ghanaian cedi into a third currency, usually the dollar. Your counterparty in Kenya receives the dollar, and then they have to convert the dollar into the Kenyan shilling. This cost of converting currency, we estimate it to be at about $5 billion annually. Africa has 42 currencies. It means that our capacity and ability to boost intra-Africa trade is significantly constrained by the cost of trade. That is why we have partnered with Afreximbank to introduce the Pan-African Payments and Settlement System, which is a digital system to enable trade. So you will now, through the Pan-African Payments and Settlement System, you will be able to trade in local currency. In the example that I've just made of a trader in Ghana, another one in Kenya, the trader in Ghana, using the platform, the Pan-African Payments and Settlement System, the trader will be able to trade in local currency, in Ghanaian cedi. Their counterparty will receive the payment in local currency, in Kenyan shillings. This will reduce the cost of trade. It will also ensure the affordability of trade. And more importantly, it will benefit small and medium enterprises and young entrepreneurs who are not able to afford the exorbitant amounts that are required to change currencies, convert currency from local currency into the dollar to enable trade to happen. And so the Pan-African Payments and Settlement System is one of our biggest deliveries within the framework of the AFCFTA, and I'm very proud that we're working very closely with Afreximbank to make sure that more and more countries, more and more commercial banks are part of the Pan-African Payments and Settlement System so that we can make trade affordable, accessible, and so that we can boost the productive capacity and competitiveness of the small medium enterprises in Africa.
Yes, you are listening to Wamkele Mene, that is the Secretary General of Africa Continental Free Trade Area, where he spoke about the barrier of trade, especially when you look at the cost of transactions, the cost of finance transaction or currency conversion when you look at a trade. Then the question that we are asking ourselves is that, how long are we going to take to reach that stage which the head of that institution is talking about, to say it's only through removing these barriers that we can be able to say we can be able to trade freely and also utilize that system. Then the question that you need to ask yourself, is also that, what is your investment into financial infrastructure? What is your investment in digital infrastructure? What is your investment in trade infrastructure? Because you need to make sure that you have trade infrastructure which are capable, which can back you, so that you not just get into the game that you lose all the money that you enter into in that business. Because remember, Namibia financial system went through the test of time, and it did not really go as according to plans due to what we have seen with Financial Action Task Force due to grey listing. It did not really go according to plans due to illicit financial flow. It did not go according to plan due to what we have seen in the past. If I have to take you back in 5 years' time, when you look at the case of Fishlot, for example, when you look at the case of international transactions, somebody today spoke about money being shipped out of the country, then they disappear. Is that the system that you are going to trade with? And what is our investment in terms of us moving forward, especially regarding continental free trade area, especially regarding currency conversion, especially regarding not depend in Southern Africa established, a payment system, but to rely, support, and capacitate the strength of that, the strength of Africa Continental Free Trade Area and its proposed payment system. If it have worked in Ghana, if it have worked in Kenya, why can't we use it? And there's also something that is not really coming about to see. What is the relationship between those with political will and also those who understand finance, especially those who are in the banking sector? Because the banking sector does not want to lose also, because that is business. Losing money is business. Delaying financial payment or transaction is also losing customers' trust and also losing the trust of that who you are sending money to. But the question at the end of the day must come on the table to say, how long is it going to take us to be part of Pan-Africa payment and settlement system? Because there is still to be a lot of obstacles on the way. When you listen to the economist speaking, when you listen to the financial analyst speaking, when you listen to a banker speaking, then you'll be able also to see that there is still going to be a long way to go. There's still going to be a long way to go. And you are still asking yourself, when you speak about having access to the market of 2.8 trillion US dollars, when is that going to happen? When you speak about having to access to the market population of 1.4 billion people, when is that going to happen? Because it's that good to speak and propose about something, and it's also very crucial and important also to make sure that that which we are speaking about, we are also putting it into practice. So, dear listeners, just in a short period of time, you are going to listen to what our minister, or the minister of information communication technology, has to say, especially when it's coming to payment system, especially when it's coming to investment in digital infrastructure, and also when it's coming to inclusivity. Then we get a picture where we are, and also the picture of where we are going. So stay tuned, stay tuned.
Thank you very much, Program Director. After that very comprehensive opening remarks by DG Dunn, I don't know if I should say anything else. But thank you very much. I recognize Dr. Johannes Kavagap, Governor of the Bank of Namibia, DG Wanguta, DG Dunn, all the stakeholders present here. I recognize executives from the financial sector and the regulatory authorities across the country, all protocol observed. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are we doing this morning? I believe so. Ladies and gentlemen, first I'd like to say that as a Ministry of ICT, we support this very important thought leadership conversation that we'll be having today. We have been in contact with Bank of Namibia for a while, looking at how we can combine technology with financial inclusion. And I think this is an apt gathering to discuss that very issue. But more importantly, transformation does not happen by chance. It happens by choice. Just as a nation cannot trade without roads and ports, no nation can thrive in the digital economy without fast, affordable, and reliable connectivity. Connectivity is more than convenience. It is the enabler of faster transactions, wider inclusion, and more dynamic economies. And that is why at the Ministry of ICT, we are committed to reviewing Namibia's national broadband policy with the goal of raising the minimum download speed from 2 megabits per second to 25 megabits per second, and upload speed to 3 megabits per second in line with the SADC standards. And I must indicate that we have already communicated this to all the operators in the country, and many have already started implementing these standards. To achieve inclusive payments and create accessible and affordable digital payment systems for all users, including the unbanked and vulnerable, by connecting various providers like banks and mobile wallets to form a connected network requires collaborative efforts. This requires strong regulatory frameworks that protect consumers, promote innovation, and ensure security. Furthermore, users need financial and digital literacy to use and benefit from these systems. Otherwise, there is no point if people cannot afford their mobile device, and by not affording it, they are unfamiliar with it, they cannot use it, they do not have the necessary digital literacy, they cannot afford the data for them to transact online. We cannot effectively implement inclusive payment solutions that should be sustainable for both the private sector and the public sector. So four things I'd like to highlight. One, design for accessibility and affordability. We have to have the consumer in mind. We need to think about the person who will be using the end product. Will it reach all users? Will it be affordable for users? And will it be mobile first solutions for them? Second, to foster collaboration and connectivity. Connecting different providers, making sure there is some interoperability that DG Dan was talking about. Public-private partnerships that we cannot run away from. All of this requires some level of collaboration. Third, to build trust through security and user education. We need to prioritize security and risk management. I think this is non-negotiable. But we also need to enhance financial and digital literacy, as I've indicated earlier, and also biometric security for users at the end of the day. And that is why, through the Electronic Transactions Act of 2019, is so significant. It does more than give recognition to digital documents. It provides the legal certainty that every electronic transaction, every payment authorization, every digital contract has the same force in law as those concluded on paper. A signature embedded in a mobile transaction or an e-signed contract for a business deal carries the same weight as if it had been signed across a desk. This is how we create the trust that allows instant payments to flourish and digital commerce to thrive. Ladies and gentlemen, the fourth one would be to implement supportive regulatory frameworks. And I'm happy DG Dan spoke about that. There is no this or that. There is no fight or conflict in regulations supporting innovation. I think both can coexist and can coexist together in a good way. So the first one would be consumer protection, making sure that the end user trusts the technology they are using. But trust must also be defended. And as more money moves digitally, the threats continue to grow, and we see it more and more in the country. That is why the National Cybersecurity Strategy of 2022 to 2027, initiated by the Namibia Computer Incidents Response Team, or NAMCERT for short, and the forthcoming cybercrime legislation are vital pillars of our payments future. They form a protective shield and around our digital economy, and ensuring that citizens can transact without fear of fraud, that businesses can innovate without fear of attack, and that our financial system remains secure and resilient in the face of global cyber risks. Because in payments, trust is not an accessory. It is the foundation of that technology and that system. And a system is only as strong as the confidence its people have placed in it. Also, In this pillar, we expect to see an enabling of innovation, creating a legal and regulatory environment that encourages new innovations and competition within the digital payment space, but also to promote basic account access, mandate free basic payment accounts for vulnerable consumers, and ensure they are offered as a default option by financial institutions. The last pillar I'd like to reflect on is ensuring sustainability and value for users. Develop sustainable business models, demonstrate clear value, showing users clear advantages over cash, such as convenience, speed, transparency, and lower costs to encourage adaptation, but also tailoring the solutions to the consumer, where we're able to capture data safely and use it to develop products and services such as tailor lower interest rates that meet users' unique needs and meet the people where they are. Ladies and gentlemen, this gathering takes place as the National Payment System Vision and Strategy between 2021 to 2025 comes to an end. What follows will shape the future of our digital economy and how we transact among ourselves, but also how we trade regionally, continentally, and globally. The theme, Inclusive Payments, Shared Prosperity, Charting the Next Era, reminds us that payments are not about technology for its own sake. They are about people who are at the end of this long chain. The grandmother who deserves to receive her pension instantly and securely. The SME that needs affordable digital payments to compete. And the young creator who wants to showcase Namibian talent to the world and be paid without barriers. I must indicate again here that the Bank of Namibia and ourselves are working tirelessly to ensure that young creators in this country get the benefit of payments through the platforms they interact on. I'm talking about the YouTubes of this world, Google AdSense, TikTok, Instagram, and so many others that the young people of this country are using on a daily basis. Finally, the decisions we make today will echo far into the future. The world of payments is evolving at the speed of light. However, we should equally remain focused on building payment sovereignty, as it is a pillar of financial autonomy. The question is not whether Namibia will change. It is whether Namibia will lead that change, because change is inevitable. As the Ministry of ICT, we commit that government will continue to lay the foundations, faster broadband, wider coverage through our Universal Service Fund, where we are rolling out infrastructure across the country, and we've already committed 80 million Namibian dollars in these two financial years to ensure that, stronger laws and safer networks to ensure that this change is secure. But the real test will be how all of us, regulators, financial institutions, innovators, and policymakers come together to create a system that works for every Namibian. If we succeed, the future will be defined by this. Namibia will not be a consumer of other people's innovations, but a creator of its own destiny. Our payment systems will not only be modern, they will be meaningful, contributing to the shared prosperity we so strongly advocate for. They will carry prosperity across every corner of our nation, instantly, securely, and inclusively across rural, peri-urban, and urban settings. The next era of payment begins here, and it begins with all of us. In conclusion, I am honored to deliver these remarks at this Payments Thought Leadership Gathering, underlining inclusive payments, shared prosperity, charting the next era, and I wish all of you a productive rest of the program. Thank you very much.
Yes, we are moving forward with business and economic segment. You got it yourself. As Sai indicated earlier, that was the speech of the Minister of Information, Communication and Technology, that is Emma Tiafeles. And she was speaking today at an event organized by Bank of Namibia, especially regarding digital payment system. Where are we as a country? Where are we as a country? What is that need to be done? What is that need to be done? And maybe just to highlight some of the things which are stated, and also for our own analysis, also to look at if we can compare this relationship or if you can compare this communique with that of Wamkele Mene, the Secretary General of Africa Continental Free Trade Area, then you'll be able to get a picture, and you can also compare that of which was said with where the country want to go. Then you ask yourself to say, where are we really? Are we still at the point where we are trying to churn out our system, or we are ready to enter into Africa Continental Free Trade Area through improved, financial system, timely, and also secure financial transactions? Because the main issue is cross-border transaction. That is something that we need to put on the table. The main issue is cross-border transaction, and the main issue is also financial understanding and also financial literacy of digital payment system. And the other thing is also what you can pick out from here is also the infrastructure. Where are we standing in terms of trade infrastructure, particularly the financial system? Where are we? If I want to trade with Zambia, if I want to trade with Rwanda in my own currency, is the BON and the Reserve Bank of Rwanda have that capacity? Is the private sector, especially the fintech now, which are involved in this regard, having that capacity also to allow that transaction to go through? Or we are still going to call each other for the whole week to see, is the money received, what is the exchange rate, and all those things? Because when we are saying we want Africa to be integrated, we must speak with one voice. When we are speaking about Africa integration, we must speak with one voice in terms of that what is that of which is part of the bigger project that you are still doing at home? Because remember, we are still focused on internal financial inclusion. At the same time, we are also looking at the CMA countries. We are looking at the countries within SACU, how our trade is, with their barriers already. Then you also have a trading system in SADC with their barriers already. Then you have now the continental one. The question is that how fast can we be able to understand our system, and how fast can we be able to participate fully in those systems? Now, let's look at what the Minister of Information, Communication and Technology have stated. One of the things that she stated is that there's an investment of 80 million in these two financial years in digital infrastructure. And the other thing also that he mentioned is that in terms of doing business, they are working too hard to make sure that, TikTokers and content creators, they are getting something from the platform that they are using. Because I remember there was one teacher whose video went viral. And if it was in another country, this person could have made more money from YouTube. But just because up to now, our content creators are finding it very difficult to utilize those platforms, which other content creators in other countries are using to make money. Then the question is that, how long is it going to take? Because it's one thing also to speak about expanding financial and trade infrastructure, and it's also the other thing to make sure that those which are using those infrastructure are also aware of the consequences, the challenges, and also the risk which are coming with that. Because number one is an aspect of cybersecurity. Everybody spoke about cybersecurity. Everybody spoke about investment in cybersecurity, but no one with really clear strategy on how Namibians will deal with this aspect. What is the legal framework in terms of dealing with cybersecurity in Namibia? What is the capacity of CREN in terms of dealing with cybersecurity? What is our understanding, even my understanding? What is my understanding of dealing with, in understanding the issue of cybersecurity? Because we need to make sure that, just as the same with access to financial literacy, I mean access to finance and also understanding financial literacy is the same with access to digital infrastructure and also understanding the risk of that which come with those digital infrastructure. So dear listeners, today we are looking at what are those barriers, and I want you to make your own analysis to see that of which was said by Wamkele Mene, who is the Secretary General of Africa Continental Free Trade Area, with the mandate of implementation of that flagship program by African Agenda 2063, to make sure that Africa move toward one payment solution system and also move toward one form of economic zone where intra-trade is free and boosts the economy, because the statistics are on the table to say the predicted GDP of Africa, the combined GDP of Africa as we are standing now, is $2.8 trillion. The market of Africa is 1.4 billion people. And imagine how much money you are going to make when you integrate those people with our resources, with our economic capacity, and with our understanding on how things are being done, and with also our political will, because it can be done, but the question is that where are we? Are we where we were supposed to be, or we are still at the stage of talking? Because if you were at the relationship, we are still at the talking stage. Just to give an example, to say we are still at the talking stage. We did not yet move to another level of saying, this is what we do. But yeah, it's a matter of interrogation. It's a matter of interrogation because when you see experts from a Reserve Bank and the Central Bank and Commercial Bank debate diplomatically different views about one point, you realize to say we have a lot to go. And you realize to say we need more than a political will. To make sure that when it's coming to expanding the Namibian economy, which is very small, to feed ourselves due to the background, what is now, also putting in mind what is happening at a global arena. So, dear listeners, thank you very much for listening to Business and Economic Segment. Like we're always saying, make sure that you connect to Eagle FM Namibia at all our social media platform. Connect with us on Facebook, X, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And make sure that you download the Villager newspaper and you have access to the content and context of economics. Thank you very much.